Hey, happy Wednesday, ladies of no BS. Come on in. The water's fine. I am Coach Lizzie, and this is our Wednesday Ask Me Anything. Shelly, great to see you here. Oh, so good to have our friends here for our Wednesday Q&A. As you can see, I'm not Coach MJ. A fabulous and amazing and wonderful Coach MJ is in South Carolina with her family. With her daughter graduating from college, I'm pretty sure. So yay, so exciting for Coach MJ and so exciting for me that I get to be with you today. So this is Ask Me Anything. Please go ahead and put your questions into the Q&A box. You can try putting them in the chat, but I might miss them because there's so many of you who are so lovely and saying hello. We've got Terry and Rosita, Joanne. Hey everyone, Christy's here, Nancy's in the house, Wanda. Valerie! Oh, it's like old friends. All right, y'all, I even put on earrings for you. This is a big deal. A big deal. So I hope you feel special. All righty. So, like I said, please go ahead and put your questions into the Q&A, and we're just gonna have a good time today. Couple of quick little things that I wanted to remind you of is we do have coaching this Sunday, the 21st. And by the way, that is at a new time. So Corinne will be coaching at 12 Central, 1 o'clock Eastern for weight loss coaching. And then at 2 Central, 3 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have the maintenance coaching call. That's this Sunday. We definitely still have calls coming up next week. So there's the body image and intimacy call on Tuesday at 5 Central, 6 Eastern with Coach Lisa. Next Wednesday is Christmas Eve. And yes, there is an Ask Me Anything with Coach MJ and all the things. So, a couple of quick announcements there. Fantastic. So, what do you guys want to talk about today? I would love to hear what's on your minds as we've got the holidays are upon us. Christmas Eve is a week from today. Hanukkah is already in full swing. And quick blessings and prayers for our Jewish community. I love you. The heart goes out to all of you for all the things that are going on in the world. Love you so much. Kwanzaa, all the things. It's the holiday time. And so, a question that I have been asking my clients since I'm going to be away next week, I'm going to be seeing them in 2 weeks. And I think this is a question that you can ask yourself as well is like, 2 weeks from now, what would feel like a win for my holiday season? What would feel like I, showed up for myself? And I think it's a really useful question to ask yourself. So for you can go ahead and type into the chat. What would be a win for me 2 weeks from now when I'm looking back on the holiday season? And it's really interesting the perspective that some of my clients have shared. They've said, I just want to be present with my family. That's really good to know that being present with your family might be more important than weight loss to you this holiday season. And that's not like they're, mutually exclusive, but what is most important to you? Another client said to me that she wanted to have minimal emotional eats. And I was like, well, that's really good to know. How would you go about doing that? How would you intentionally plan to, kind of be a little bit more in touch with your emotions so they're not eking out sideways in the food? And so a way that you can do that is just kind of check in with yourself. Have a regular routine, whether it's when you're brushing your teeth or, getting ready to go to bed at night. Be like, what am I feeling? And whatever it is, you're like, I'm allowed to feel that way. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling sad. Whatever is happy, excited, whatever's going on, you can just allow it by saying, what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to change it. And just be like, yeah, of course, it makes so much sense. Normalize that feeling. Yeah. So some of the things that are coming up in the chat, that would be a win 2 weeks from now for them is maintaining. Yeah, that would absolutely be a win. Keeping it with your workout schedule. That's a great point, Nicole. I think that, working out is not necessarily something that leads to weight loss, but it certainly is something that leads to like a mentally happy gal. Like, you can, everything just kind of feels better when you get in a little bit of a workout. No hangovers, Trudy, you and me both, sister. I have noticed for myself that one of my kind of pitfalls is being a little bit complacent and being like, I've got this. Like, I'm not too worried about it. And not planning ahead intentionally, particularly for drinks. And so that's kind of one thing that I want to be aware of is, yes, my primary focus is I want to be present with my family, but I do also want to be intentional about my drinks and not just be like, it'll be fine. And so what that looks like, particularly when I'm with my parents, because the alcohol flows a little bit more freely there, is I have a little bit of a guideline, which is I want to be drinking water by dinner time because we can cocktail for quite some whatever, a long time. And so my guideline, again, it's not a rule, it's not something that I'm forcing myself to do. It's a choice based from a place of care. Is like by dinner time, I want to be kind of transitioning to water, and I have just learned many times that that leads to a better next day, and I just enjoy the whole holiday more. Great. So, Kim is saying, I know that I want to look back and know that I had balanced my family with pockets of time for myself. That's a great point. Sometimes we can lose, when am I planning time for myself within this holiday season? We all need that reminder. Me too. Okay. We've got a couple of questions coming into the Q&A. And so Laura from the, Building Blocks podcast has said, I want to start the regain lessons, but Corinne said, I need to get past the regain that I have. I lost all my weight during COVID with no BS and kept it off for 2 years. I gained it back when I changed jobs into a new work environment. What would be some good things to think about as I get through this? That's interesting, Laura. So Corinne said, I need to get past the regain I have. I would wonder what that kind of coaching was about, but where I think whenever you have a regain, the very first place to start is to acknowledge, where am I judging myself? Where am I shaming myself? Because it's very hard to make progress, to make change when you're stuck underneath an umbrella, a shame shawl, effectively, because shame keeps us stuck. Shame keeps us hiding. And it's hard to change when you're still just pounding yourself over, like, I can't believe I did this. And Laura, you mentioned that you had a job change. Well, that makes so much sense. Like, circumstances changed, and there probably was a change in schedules, at least, and probably a change in stress. And you learned how to lose weight in one set of circumstances. Your circumstances change, and your brain was like, this is completely new. We've never done anything like this before. All the old rules don't apply. And so it makes sense. And so when, as you're going through the process of addressing your regain, the very first step is to allow yourself some compassion that it makes sense why I regain this weight. And also, again, you are in a new circumstance. And so you lost weight before in a set of circumstance that looked like ABC. And now you are in a set of circumstance that looks like XYZ. And so be careful not to fall into the mental trap of being like, I used to do this. What's my problem? Why is it so hard this time? You are different. Your circumstances are different. And the you that you are remembering is the person who lost her weight after COVID, and she had her habits dialed in, and things have changed now. And so you are not remembering the you who started at the higher weight, who was like, oof, this feels like a big deal or a big mountain to climb. Where do I start? So, I would encourage you to go ahead and peek at the regain lessons and see how they could apply to you. And let me know if that has helped you, Laura. So that is kind of a thought to go there. All right. Lori in the chat is wondering the same thing. It was that Laura who sent a question into the chat. Her title name, her Zoom name, is from the Building Blocks podcast. That's why people are asking that. So, Laura, if you want people to share more about or hear more about your podcast, sounds like they're interested. See, there we go. All right. Joanne is saying, I was in the Facebook group this morning with a ChatGPT photo. It was me now, an AI created after 75 pounds or so. And it brought up a lot of shitty feelings. But a few no BS women helped me through some of those wasted time thoughts. Oh, Joanne, thank you for mentioning that. That's a great point. A lot of times when we've gained weight, we can shame ourselves about how did I let this happen? How did I get to the point where I'm 75 pounds away from where I want to be, and I've hurt my body. All the shitty thoughts can come up. And so I want to acknowledge that's normal. Because of our negativity bias, our brains are going to look for problems. It's going to look for what's wrong. And our brains want to have an explanation. Our brain's like a nice, tidy loop of like, this happened and this is why. And so, because of the negativity bias, when your brain is looking at, I'm 75 pounds higher than I want to be. And the reason why is because I suck, is because I have wasted so much time. I could have been losing all this weight by now. And that's basically the answer, the loop, the story that your brain creates, and it's like, that's nice and tidy, makes sense. And it feels awful. It's not great. And so if you want to have any kind of a different thought or feeling about where you are now versus where you want to be, instead of just thinking I wasted time or I've wrecked my body or it's all my fault, you got to look for it on purpose. It's interesting. A lot of us think, a lot of us know sort of intrinsically that if we want to have a strong body, you got to get in the gym. You got to pick up something heavy. You got to move. Most of us don't question that. And yet, at the same time, we don't bring that same mindset to our thoughts. That, like, if I'm going to have good thoughts, if I'm going to have strong thoughts, healthy thoughts, I got to work them out. I got to try. I have to do it on purpose. And it's the same, whether you want strong muscles or strong thoughts, you got to do it on purpose. And so, Joanne, if there's any more that you wanted to put into the chat and the Q&A that the ladies in the Facebook group, how did they help you turn around your thoughts? I would be very curious to hear about that. But I would say a different way to look at the weight that you put on and how to look at it differently instead of I wasted time, I would say that the version of you who gained the weight was doing the best she could with what tools she had at the time. Now, I want to be clear. I said she did the best she could with the tools she had at the time. I did not say she did the best she could with the information she had at the time, because that's another little mental trap that we like to put ourselves through is, I know what to do. I just don't find myself doing it. And I have all of this information. Why can I not do it? Well, let's talk about that. So, knowing what to do is in our very highest level part of our brain, very recent, in terms of evolution. And the survival part of our brain is the most primal, the most primitive, the most ancient, if you will. And so, if you are in a situation, whether in a new job or in a relationship or in just your life where you're feeling a little stressed, you're feeling a little fight or flightish, your nervous system is a little off balance. I'm trying to think of the word. What's the word? Regulated. If you're a little dysregulated, your fight or flight system, that survival brain, is like, okay, we're in charge now. We want to make things better fast. And if, like, I'm pointing to my neck because that's where the lower brainstem is. Like, when the survival brain is in charge, you don't have access to your thinking and planning thoughts. Like, it's like a gorilla has taken over the wheel of the car and it's like, I'm driving now. You sit in the back and you just ride along for the ride. And you sitting in the back is like, no, we should have a salad. And the gorilla's like, what's a salad? Where's the McDonald's? And so the you that gained the weight was doing the best she could with the tools she had at the time. And so the tools you had at the time were likely food. Like, that's how your brain knew how to handle whatever was going on in your life, was this is putting me outside of my zone of tolerance or window of tolerance. I'm feeling dysregulated. How do I fix this? Food. One of my favorite analogies is it's like your brain has a toolbox inside of the brain. I'm imagining like this big empty room, and there's this toolbox with like a spotlight on it. And the toolbox is labeled feel better. And you got something going on, and your brain is like tip, 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 toe up to the toolbox, opens the toolbox up, and there's one tool inside, food. And so that's why you gain the weight. Now you are learning how to help yourself in ways in addition to food. So we're not taking away the food. We're not opening up that toolbox and taking that food tool and throwing it out. That's what diets do. Instead, we're adding other tools in. We're saying you could use a discovery worksheet. You could use some of the tools in the nervous system regulating resource guide that we have. So, like putting your hand on your heart, asking yourself, what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel this way. Reaching out to a friend. And so it's like, what's that adage? If the only tool you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. It's very similar. Whereas you would not use a hammer to fix every issue in your house. Like if I am trying to put my daughter's drawing up on the wall, I need some tape. I don't need a hammer. And so I'm getting a little long-winded with this analogy, but what I'm trying to say for you, Joanne, is that there's lots of different ways to look at the time you spent when you were gaining weight, is that you can have compassion for the you that was going through whatever you were going through, and you use the tools you had available now. And so now where I would encourage you to focus your attention is number one, always self-compassion. Because once again, shame, not a helpful change tool. Compassion, much better. And then I would also encourage you to look for what are other tools I can add to my feel better toolbox to help me handle the normal things that go on in life, like feelings, like stress, like having a long day, things like that. And again, I encourage you, oh, Joanne did come up. She said one of the best responses was a lady asked me, what would that woman do? Meaning the girl who was AI created. How would she react? How would she do? What would she do that got her to that place? Oh, that's a great question. So the AI version of you that's lost weight, what would she do to get to the place where she lost weight? And you journaled on it, and Joanne says it was really helpful to see that the things I'm giving up to get her really are not things I'm giving up, more like enhancing my current self to get closer to the AI me that I want to look more like. Wow, that's fascinating. Interesting. So that would be a really interesting exercise for everybody. Similarly to the, what would feel like a win 2 weeks from now, if you said, 2 weeks from now me, or a year from now me, who has lost the weight, what did she do to get to that place where she felt like her holiday season was a win? What did she do to get to the place where she lost 75 pounds? And how can you look at that just as Joanne did? I love this, Joanne. Great job. How can you look at that, those changes, as like not things you're giving up, but choices you make because you want to feel good, because it's part of how you are loving and nurturing yourself. So good. Great stuff. Thanks for that. Oops, did I? I'm still working on the figuring out the Q&A sometimes. This is I'm not as practiced with it. All right. Keep these questions coming, everybody. I love it. Okay, so Lee says, I have had a huge change in work and I'm now home 90% of the time instead of going to an office. My income is slashed. Since this happened at the end of August, I have regained 8 pounds. I keep taking extra bites, not drinking my water, and menopausal, and it's not helping anything, especially my sleep. Please help me get out of this negative mindset I'm in because of everything that's going on. I had lost 48 pounds and was on my way to 50, and now I'm going backwards. Okay. Lee, I'm so glad that you wrote in about this. And it's understandable to have those thoughts of like, I'm going backwards, my income was slashed, this is, it's all kind of working against me. So, number one, acknowledge that you are going through a change. Like, we don't need to toxic positivity to this. There's some challenges here. But is it all challenges? Is it all hard? Or could you look at this from the perspective? One of my favorite, I have lots, but one of my favorite life coaching questions is, how is this happening for me? And everybody, if you have a sticky note nearby, write that down. How is this happening for me? In other words, whatever it's going on, how could this be a win or a benefit to me eventually sometime in the future? And I use that question on myself because when, I have a brain just like you do that wants to go to the negative worst case scenario. And when it does, because it's not an if, it's a when, somewhere, like it depends on how long I've been in the shit spiral, but eventually I remember this question to ask, how is this happening for me? And sometimes I'm not ready for this question yet. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not ready to look at the bright side. I'm not ready to be optimistic. I just want to hang out in my dirty diaper. That's okay. However, when you're ready to look at what else could be true, you could say, how is this happening for me? How is this work change helping me? So, if you're home 90% of the time, my guess is you don't have a commute as much. So, you're not tempted to go through the drive-through on your way to and from work. That could be good. You have control over the food that comes into your house versus, like, Susan down the way in the other office brought in bagels and donuts, and you had no control over that. And so you don't have the random like food you need to resist because someone brought it into the break room because you're at home. You said that you're taking extra bites and not drinking your water. So let's talk about that. What's getting in the way of you drinking your water? Everybody who's listening, when you've got something that you're like, I know I'm not doing XYZ, this is such good news. Again, it's not an opportunity for you to be like, what's my problem? I know I should do this better. Whenever there's something that you know you should be doing and you're not, don't sit there and should on yourself. Instead, be like, what's the obstacle getting in the way? And this is again a really useful question because it opens up your brain to curiosity, to problem solving. When you're just like, I should be drinking my water, where are you going to go with that? Like, where's your action step? I mean, I guess drink more water, but how? How are you like problem solving this? It's just like, do more, try harder. And, pulling out all the sayings here today. What's that other saying of like, you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? That's the definition of insanity. I'm pretty sure I got that backwards, but you get it. So, what's the main obstacle getting in the way? What's the main obstacle getting in the way of you drinking water? Is it, I just don't think about it. I forget. Okay, great. What could you do about that? Set a reminder, sticky notes, put your water bottle right in front of your computer. So, it's right there. And you're like, gotta drink that water, which is a good idea. Everybody take a sip. See, you could come on coaching calls, and every time Corinne curses, you could play the drinking game. Like, that's a creative solution to drinking more water. So there are lots of ways that you could get creative with the problem and with the obstacle, but you've got to acknowledge that there is an obstacle. Sometimes when I'll ask somebody, so let's say they want to exercise 3 times a week, and I'm like, okay, so what's the obstacle getting in the way? They'll say, I just need to do it. Once again, how helpful is that? Like, where's your action step? What I really want to encourage you again is don't tell yourself that this is stupid. It should be easy by now. I should be better at this. Because all that does is it gives you a bunch of judgment and no action, no direction. So I really don't care if it should be easy. I really don't care if you should know better or you should be better at it. The truth is, it's not easy. You're not doing it. So let's acknowledge there's something in the way. Instead of telling yourself some version of should, be like, what's in the way? Let's get around it. Let's talk about it. And then you can kind of create creative action plans, like, listening to Corinne in the background, and every time she swears, you drink water. Problem solved. In a fun way. You keep taking extra bites. Now that's an interesting one too. So I would encourage you to ask yourself, what's the reason why I'm taking extra bites? First, you could say, am I hungry? Chances are you're not, it, but we all have, particularly working from home, because I've been working from home full time since 2015. And so I feel you, like kitchen's right there, And there are plenty of times where I am working on something hard or something that I'm a little bit scared about, or I'm just tired and I don't want to work. I don't want to do the next thing. And I'm like really kind of having to push myself. And whatever's in the pantry sounds a lot more fun than whatever it is I'm trying to do. So it makes sense. So, number one, acknowledge, why am I eating? Is it hunger? Chances are it's probably not. And so then what is it? Am I eating because I'm bored? Maybe. Am I eating because I'm tired? Because I'm stressed? I'm worried about this email I have to send? Again, we're identifying what's the obstacle, what's going on here. We can't really fix it if we're not aware of it. And it's a question of if I am eating because I'm bored, okay, so good to know. How do we address boredom? If it's I'm eating because I am worried about this email I got to write, okay, how could you get some help? ChatGPT could be really useful. Or you could write into Ask Coaches. I have a client who literally I help her write emails because she gets really nervous about writing emails to her boss. So I'm like, all right, here's what you could say. And she'll like take notes as I'm talking. So that's real. All right, Lee has given me a little bit of an update. She says, I've been planning meals and cooking a lot more. I lose my water in the house. Before it was at my desk, and I have been spending more time with my 90-year-old mom. Okay. That's really good to know. So now we have a new variable. We've got time with mom. I'm not sure, Lee, if mom is in your house or if you're going to wherever mom is. But then again, like now that we've got different variables, now you can acknowledge, okay, some of my time is allocated to spending it with mom. And one would guess not only time, but also emotional and mental energy is being allocated to mom. So how are you kind of accounting for that? That it would be so very normal that after being with mom, you would be mentally tired, drained, stressed, and your brain is going to be like, I need some food to just feel better. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so the next question is, all right, if I know after I spend time with mom, or even possibly anticipating time with mom, I might come home feeling more tired, more stressed, or just a little bit exhausted. What do I actually need in that moment? Do I need food? Is my body physically hungry? Might be. I mean, maybe it was a while since you had breakfast. But what else could you need? Maybe you need to validate your feelings. Maybe you need to talk to a friend. Maybe you need to, sit down and do nothing for a little bit with no guilt. Sitting down and doing nothing is not always that simple. Sitting down and doing nothing with no guilt matters. Okay, thank you for the update, Lee. She says, Mom is 15 minutes away, still in her house. I'm an only child, so I'm doing a ton of things for her so she can stay there. That's amazing. And that's a lot of work for you. And so it would make sense that, your stress and your emotions are kind of, piling up on the inside. And if you're not turning towards yourself and saying, this is a lot, I'm tired. I'm going to address tired. I'm going to address my emotions, my stories. Then your brain's like, well, that stuff's still here. We got to figure out a way to do it. So it's going to come out in food. Lee, what I would encourage you to do is send us a note and ask coaches and just tell us a little bit more detail about what are the stories that are in your head that might lead to taking extra nibbles and extra bites. Because you've given me some great information about mom is 90, she lives 15 minutes away, and you're doing a lot for her. And you could feel complete joy about that, or you could feel complete resentment about that. Either is totally okay. But I think that we could probably get into a little bit more detail and nuance and help you with your specific situation and help you figure out how to have some tools to feel better in addition to food. Like food is always going to be there, it's a tool that has worked in the past, and there are other tools that can help too. Okay, great questions, Lee. Thank you so much for that. All right. So, Jenny says, Can you walk through? It just tastes so good. How we get through this? Damn it. I just love Reese's peanut butter trees, the hearts and the eggs and the pumpkins too. Because they taste so damn good. I know that I can get them year round. Every holiday, it has a shape. So it's not a scarcity mindset. Great question, Jenny. And so it's interesting that, so we when we have the story that like it just tastes so good and I want to keep eating it. There was a great coaching call that Corinne did from over the weekend, and somebody was she was overeating when she would go out to dinner, and Corinne was like, "Is it the food? Because if I came to your house and I cooked for you, you know, some plain chicken and broccoli, would you be like, I just can't not eat it?" And she was like, "No, it's about the kind of the fun of going out," and so. Jenny, what does the peanut butter trees and hearts and eggs and pumpkins, what does it represent to you? Is it about fun? Is it about an indulgence? Is it about cheating from your diet? All of those things. Because I would bet if you did the Fuck It Foods worksheet with the peanut butter trees, and if, as we're talking, I'll look for the link to that. If you did a Fuck It Foods worksheet with those trees, how many bites do you think it would take to get to a place where you're like, this doesn't taste quite the same? Maybe still tastes amazing, but it maybe bite number five didn't taste quite the same as bite number one. I'm wondering. So if there's ever a particular food, like Jenny mentioned with the Reese's peanut butter trees and hearts and eggs and pumpkins, really, really encourage you to do the Fuck It Foods worksheet on that. And I will f be the first one to tell you, I was afraid of the Fuck It Foods worksheet. Yeah. I was an active no BS coach and I was afraid of the Fuck It Foods worksheet. Why do you think I was afraid of the Fuck It Foods worksheet? That's hard to say fast, by the way. I was afraid of this worksheet because I was afraid of what I would find out. I was afraid that maybe I didn't like my favorite food as much as I thought. I was afraid it was going to ruin it for me. And if that's you, that's normal. So it's okay. And I would also encourage you to go ahead and give it a try because even if you find that you don't like it as much as you thought you did, you can still eat it. There's no, peanut butter Reese's cup police out here. And so it helps you see why am I eating it? And by the way, I will confess, once I finally bit the bullet and I did do the Fuck It Foods worksheet, number one, it was not nearly as scary as I thought it was. And number two, I felt kind of empowered. I'm like, I did something scary. I'm so brave. And so it really can be a very positive experience. And so when you're thinking about it just tastes so good, tell yourself the real story. Is it about the taste or is it about what you're making it mean? Is it means that this is my one moment for me. This is my chance to relax. This is, I'm being bad, and part of you wants to rebel against the rules you've been imposing on yourself. So, Jenny, I would love to know if you can follow up in the chat if you have any awareness to what does it mean to you when you enjoy some Reese's peanut butter whatevers? Because you even said I can get them any time of year. And if it is about the taste, why are you not slowing down and really enjoying them? So tell me more about that, Jenny. Good stuff. All right. Cheryl says, I started working with a trainer for the first time in April. I've surprised myself by doing many things right on, girl, like a plank that I never even wanted to do. Weight loss has been slow. However, clothes are fitting better and I'm much stronger. I had measurements taken in May and was down inches, but I have kept putting them. Sorry, I've kept putting off. A word that I don't know what it means. Temisrin. Anyway, we agreed to do it though before Christmas, and I just want to get it done, but I don't want it to be discouraging. How can I reframe it in my mind? I wish I knew what TEMEASURINF means. So at any rate, Cheryl's been putting something off related to her measurements. And we're supposed to do it before Christmas, and she just wants to get it done, but I don't want it to be discouraging. Okay, so we're gonna have whatever that word is be a stand-in for, like, it's some, I figured it was a typo. Measurements. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. So she keeps putting off doing the measurements again. Thank you. Okay, so she doesn't want that to be discouraging, to do it before Christmas. Okay. So, I mean, how could we brainstorm? How could we troubleshoot this? Do you have to do it? Do you have to take the measurements before Christmas? Like, there's no rule. Even if you and your trainer agreed we were going to take measurements before Christmas, you could be like, I changed my mind. Doing it January 17th. That's an option. You could say, okay, what am I making it mean? Whether the measurements are down, whether the measurements are up, whether the measurements are the same. You know, whatever the measurements say, you still feel better in your clothes. You still feel stronger. So, what are you making the measurements mean? That's a question you could ask yourself. And I don't want it to be discouraging. Well, what would make it be discouraging? Because the number of the measurements are just a number. They're neutral. The discouraging thing is the meaning you make from the numbers. So there's a question there, is what do you want to make the measurements mean? Whether they're bigger, the same, or smaller. Because, and hear me, everybody, when I say this, the reason why you want to lose weight is not for the number. It is for how you think you will feel when you are in a smaller body, when the number says something. The scale, measurements, they are just a shortcut to you being able to say, now I get to feel the way I want to feel. But why are we waiting for that? Because it sounds to me like you're already starting to feel the way you want to feel. Clothes are fitting better. I'm much stronger. Could your clothes fit even better than they do now? Sure. Could you be even stronger than you are now? Sure. But why miss what's happening today? So I'd really encourage you, Cheryl, to ask yourself, what would I make those measurements mean? And you, that's the greatest news ever because you are 100% in control of what you choose to make it mean. And also, by the way, as someone who has once been in the role of the trainer type person who takes measurements, they can be inexact, shall we say, because you know you're putting a piece of like a tape measure around someone's waist, arm, leg, whatever, and an adjustment of just even like not even a half an inch up or down can make a massive difference in what the circumference is. So that's the thing too. So once I realized that from the perspective of the trainer, because I was like, oh man, am I messing this up? Like, you know, so and so's numbers went up when they should have gone down. I was like, you know, this is my fault. I began to realize these numbers they're not arbitrary, like, but they're like a very sort of paper representation of the real thing of what you want to feel, and you don't need the number to feel that way. So, kind of like the original question of like, what would feel like a win 2 weeks from now? That I'm present with my family, that I feel proud of how I showed up, that I made a plan for my drinks or my overeats. Like, you get to be in charge of that feeling, and it has nothing to do with the number on the scale. I'm just checking the chat here to see if I have missed anything. Cool. Lee gave me an update. She says that the taste so good thoughts come from her own cooking, because her one guess that Lee's cooking is pretty good. And so that leads to extra bites. I've had this thought all along, but now I'm cooking and baking a ton more, like I did when I was staying home most of the time with my boys are young. Okay. So, Lee, if it tastes really good when you cook it, what's preventing you from, you know, having enough and storing it for tomorrow? And so you can extend the amount of time that you get to enjoy the food that tastes so good. That's one thing that I actually have learned to really enjoy and love about going out to restaurants is I get a to-go box when I first start eating, and I'm like, this is so awesome. I get to enjoy this food twice. It's like two for the price of one. It's like getting a sale. And so I guess why not extend the it tastes so good into future days rather than just in these 3 extra bites right this minute? That could be a question to ask yourself as well. Thank you, Annette. I appreciate that. All right. Kristen says, how do you navigate conversations around food and weight loss? I have been around a lot of friends and family members who are expressing struggles and frustration with their diets. I find this program so livable. Yeah. And I want to share, but I don't want to give unsolicited advice. Kristen, I mean, you're talking to a weight loss coach, and I have been amazed how often, whenever, like particularly in social circles or even in family, but like someone's like, "So what do you do?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm a life coach that specializes in weight loss." And the most anyone will say will be like, "Oh, I need you, honey," but they don't ask any questions. And I'm like, I mean, I could help, but it's just really interesting, particularly in a social setting. Same thing with family. They may be expressing frustration, but weight loss is so personal that unless they are asking for your advice, they usually don't want it. This is especially true of family members, especially it's true of spouses. I can tell from experience. And so you could ask, or rather, you could say, like, let's say a family member or, in the holidays, someone is saying something about their frustrations with weight loss. You could be like, I have found a program I really love. If you ever want to hear about it, just ask. And then the invite is there and let them follow up on it. But typically, unsolicited advice regarding weight loss is not received terribly well. So I would just encourage you to be like, I love the program I've been using. I'd be happy to share and see if anybody follows up. And we would love to talk to them too. So those are some thoughts on that. I love these questions, y'all. Keep them coming. It's good stuff. Stephanie says, I'm going to build a protocol for my oldest daughter's volleyball winter season. Smart. We will have tournaments just about every weekend from now through March and be staying at hotels a lot. Any tips for foods to pack that stay fresh in that environment and also some protocols, tips for group dinners at restaurants? Well, good question. First of all, this is super smart. So basically what Stephanie's doing is she's anticipating a busy season where she's going to be in hotels a lot. She's going to be busy most weekends. And so that's naturally going to impact her ability to plan like any food prep for the week is going to be impacted. She's going to be out and about eating out probably at restaurants, spending a lot of time in a gym. So tips for foods that stay fresh in that environment. There's a range, of course. You could always go with the things that don't need refrigeration. So that could be something like a protein bar or some beef jerky or nuts. Some sliced vegetables. I mean, it depends on how long it's going without refrigeration, but that can work too. A great hack is going to the store and just picking up some pre-cut vegetables and some hummus or ranch dressing or whatever. That can be useful. Definitely bring your water. If you're staying in hotels, that would be an interesting question too. So typically, you're going to have a lot of control over your breakfast, I would imagine. But hotel breakfasts tend to not be the most nutritious. So I would plan ahead for your breakfast because that's going to be like the easiest one to control. How do you want to navigate your breakfast? For me, I'm weird, but I bring protein powder with me when I travel, and so I can put it in my coffee. And depending on how long my stay is going to be, I might even roll by a grocery store and pick up some cut vegetables there. Again, I'm weird. But like if you saw my little hotel refrigerator at camp, there's vegetables and hummus in it. I also have protein powder. I have electrolyte mix, because I know I'm going to be a little dehydrated, so I get a little bit of extra hydration with that. So it's basically like non-sugar Gatorade type of stuff. I do have some protein bars, but for me that's kind of like it's not a last resort, but I would prefer to have like actual food rather than processed foods. And then talk about hotels. Excuse me, not hotels. Going out to group dinners. So that can go a lot of different ways. Is this like let's say an Outback where you're ordering your meal, but you're just with a big group of people. So then you have a fairly significant amount of control over what you choose to order. Versus, like, let's say it's a tapas type place or a family style restaurant where we're like all sharing the different things. That's a very different animal. Christy just shared some sample protocols in the chat. Thank you for that, Christy. That was great. Trudy just mentioned apples, oranges, some other fruits are terrific to carry with you as well. But going back to restaurants, here's my sort of default for restaurants. If I'm going to the place, the steak place, the burger place, the seafood place, then I'm really going to lean towards whatever their special thing is. If I'm going to a place, like an Outback, a Longhorn, I don't know, a Chili's, I'm like, I'm going to lean towards the healthier salad version option, like the chicken salad, the steak salad, the whatever, because everything there is just fine. It's fine. And so if it's just fine, I'm going to go with the healthier option because I'm probably not going to remember my entree at Chili's next week. Certain, maybe I'll remember it tomorrow, but I want to feel as good as I possibly can when I'm traveling. And so I know that I'm not going to be sleeping as well. I know I'm going to be a little dehydrated. So I'm going to choose a food item that's going to make me feel as physically good as possible. And usually that's in the salad menu. But again, if you're going to the amazing steak place, maybe that's the time where you choose the steak and you like your reasons. So those are some of my suggestions. Nancy also brings protein powder wherever she goes. Christy brings a big ass cooler and people know I'm showing up with it. That's a good thing. That's a good point too, is sometimes we have a little bit of insecurity of like, what will people think? And what exactly are you worried about? Like, first of all, are you putting people's are you assuming other people's thoughts? And even if they do have thoughts on about you, they're probably like, wow, she is so smart to bring that cooler. Or they're thinking like, man, she is really smart to be ordering the salad at the Outback instead of the Flo's filet, because we're here every weekend. Oh, good. Stephanie's totally not worried about other people's thoughts, so I can leave that topic. Fantastic. Cool. So Stephanie, put us into the chat if there's any other specifics about your travel protocol that you're looking for tips on, because that was a great question. That's something you can also think about as anybody who's listening, as we're thinking about the holiday season coming up. Is there a protocol you want to have for something that's coming up? Do you want a specific protocol for the holiday dinner night? Do you want to have a protocol for going over to so-and-so's house? These are things where you're like, I know there's going to be some challenges. What if I proactively plan for them in advance? So great point there, Stephanie. All right, taking a second here. All right, Sharon says, I had a 1,000-calorie snack binge last night. My dinner didn't have much protein and I didn't feel satiated no matter what I ate. Could that be the reason? Yeah, it could be. I would be more curious to know, Sharon, though, what your thoughts are. Because at some point, your body had fuel, but you didn't feel satiated. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway, you didn't feel satisfied. So, what was your thought? Oh, and I'm so glad you brought this up because I was listening to Corinne's Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne podcast, the public podcast. And the one that she published, I think it was this week, was about the different kinds of restriction. So there's physical restriction and there's mental restriction. So physical restriction is literally like you do or do not put the things in your mouth. But mental restriction is the story we tell ourselves about the food, what's good or bad, what we can have, what we can't have. And even when we are eating the thing, we can sit there and be eating it and be like, I shouldn't be doing this. This is so bad. And I thought this was brilliant. Corinne was like, you can sit there and have a whole bowl of ice cream. And if you're telling yourself the whole time, I shouldn't be doing this, this is bad, you can finish that ice cream and your brain is like, wait a second. Where was the good feeling? I did not get the payoff I was expecting. This whole time you ate it, you were making me feel bad because you were saying you shouldn't eat it. So give me my good feeling. And you keep eating because your brain wants the good feeling. So I would be really curious, Sharon, to know what were your thoughts while you were eating? And was there any chance you had some mental restriction of like, I shouldn't be eating XYZ? And so your brain is not satisfied. Your brain did not get the mental reward from enjoying the food. And so it's like, I want my due. I want to feel that good feeling. Now, a binge, since you mentioned you weren't satisfied, that's kind of why I took that direction. But sometimes a binge can be less about hunting a feeling. It can be, but it could also be more about like avoiding a feeling. So a binge can be a way to escape, a way to just shut out whatever the noise is, particularly the noise inside your own head. And so that could be another question to ask yourself as well, Sharon, because I had a client once who binged and we talked, we were like, really delved into, what was going on, pulled back some of the layers. And she realized, she said, I've got these like different voices. I've got the Zen calm voice when things are going fine. And then there's the chaos voice, which seems to be a lot of the time, but it's like, daughter needs something from me. I need to babysit. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. And the chaos is just getting louder, 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 louder in my head. And then there's the binge voice. It's like, if we have a binge, it'll get quiet. And so we realized that the binge that she had demonized herself for decades, was actually a protection mechanism. It was her brain's way of saying, this is how we get the chaos to be quiet for a minute. It was rescuing her. It was saving her from the loudness of the chaos. And so we were able to help her kind of look at that behavior of the binge instead of from a place of like shame and judgment and like, why do I keep doing this? To a, oh, wow, it makes so much sense why I keep doing this. And how do I address the chaos? Because the binge is the solution to the chaos. The binge is not the problem, it's the symptom. So, great question there, Sharon. And if you ever want to take it a little deeper, please write to us and ask coaches and we can address it there. Right on. Okay, we got two more questions, 8 minutes. I can probably do that. We'll see. All right, Jenny says, I feel like I give myself time to relax with no guilt, and I don't look at the food like it's something I can't have. I really just feel like I love the taste. Does that come down to willpower to just ping-ponging it to enough? Should I be hungry when I do the Fuck It Foods worksheet? Oh, and so I think I had spoken with Jenny earlier, or spoken, as coach Q&A'd or with Jenny earlier. So I feel like it's not about the guilt around the food. I don't tell myself I can't have it. It really just comes down to the taste. So, okay, that's fantastic. And so if there's a food that you're like, I love the way this tastes, make it a celebration. Make it a ceremony, a like gorgeous a way to like treat yourself and like in the most like loving, nurturing way. Like if you're gonna go get a massage, you'd be like, I want to be so present for this massage. I do not want to be up in my head with all the worries and insecurities. I want to be present for this massage and feel all that glorious, amazing relaxation. I want to be in it. That's the attitude I want to encourage you to bring to the food of like every freaking bite I have of this food, I'm like just soaking the marrow out of it. Maybe weird analogy, sorry. But just enjoy every bite and really taste, savor it. That's the word I'm looking for. And to answer your question, should I be hungry when I do the Fuck Up Foods worksheet? I would say no, I'd be neutral. I'd encourage you to be roughly neutral when you have the Fuck It Foods worksheet because you want to be, calm and be able to be present. And so you can really taste the food, pay attention to its texture, its smell, that kind of thing. So hopefully that landed talking about savoring the food that just tastes so good. Okay, Anonymous says, seems like everything on No BS is for people with families, people with too many obligations, invitations, relatives, et cetera, for the holidays. I know I'm not the only person who will be alone, but it feels like I'm ignored. Last time I mentioned that here, I was told to go to Facebook. I did. Not one response, not even a pity line or a pity like. There are some really useful stuff on handling the holidays, but I'd like to hear more about being alone when everybody else is out having fun with relatives and friends, being or eating fabulous feasts, etc., and I'm not. Food is my company. I always see suggestions about volunteering, and that's not an option where I live. Well, okay. So, Anonymous, I just want to, first of all, really thank you for bringing this up because you are speaking for a lot of us. A lot of us Nobius women are alone and feeling like their only company is food. And so I really want to acknowledge you, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And what I would say is that is hard. And it's, I used to think that eating for boredom was a dumb reason to eat. And it was like, I should be better than that. And I realized that, or I learned that boredom and physical pain are like next door neighbors in the pain, it's in the brain. And so whether you're bored or sad or lonely, I really want to acknowledge food absolutely can feel like a fix. And it is really hard. And so what I would say is how to handle food with being alone is tell yourself, be acknowledge, I'm feeling sad because I feel alone. And that is not a weakness. It is a 1000% legitimate human need. And you said that you're not able to volunteer. I get it. Personally, sometimes that's kind of hard to do. What are ways you can reach out to people, even if that's just sending a text to somebody in your contacts? Is there a text you could send to someone? Is there a maybe a movie you could watch that makes you feel connected to someone that used to be in your life? What are ways that you can bring up that sense of connection in your heart and your thoughts, even if they're the people that you would like to be around or not physically with you? And it again, I really, really want to acknowledge it is hard. The feelings of loneliness and boredom, they hurt. And so sometimes you are going to turn to food and you can offer yourself compassion for that. But if you really, really don't want to turn to food or you want to turn to food less, number one, I would offer yourself some compassion, acknowledge I'm feeling sad and I'm feeling lonely, and it makes so much sense that I would feel this way. I'm feeling left out, and it makes so much sense that I would feel this way. Honor what you're feeling. And then next, I would encourage you to ask yourself, what can I do? Okay, you were encouraged to go to Facebook, and you did, and you did not get the results you wanted. I acknowledge that. I wish your name wasn't anonymous because then I could go find your post and reply to it. You can number one, you could post again. Number two, you could write in to ask coaches. I promise we will reply. You could write into support@pnptribe.com. I promise we will reply. Vern is on this call. And she'd be like, girl, I got you. So you are not alone. We do care about you. And even if it's just as simple as where can I like open up the contacts in my phone and be, scroll, scroll, scroll. I'll send that person a text. Send them a funny meme. Sometimes that helps. And thank you, Donna. She says to Anonymous, please send out that post one more time because we would love to support you. So, Anonymous, I really, really appreciate you bringing this up. You are speaking for a lot of us. And Vern says, please email us with the blue question mark. Anywhere on the NoBS website at the bottom, there's a blue question mark that takes you straight to support. We've got you. So thank you so much for bringing that up. It is hard and you're not alone. Woo! Everybody, this has been so great. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do the Q&A today. Thank you, MJ. Thank you, Nobius ladies. Like, obviously, this time of year is a time to kind of reflect and look ahead. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, I might cry, and that's okay, even though I don't want to. I just so appreciate you guys. Like, having this job is the best job in the world because you get to really connect with people and you get to feel like you make a difference. And because how you feel about yourself really, really matters because it impacts how you show up in the world And so I would just love, 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 love for you to give yourself the gift this season, this holiday season, of loving yourself 1% more, of being like, you know what? My weight does not define me. The size of my jeans is the least interesting thing about me. And if I could give you all a big giant hug with my big red sweater, I would. Love you all. Talk to you later. Bye.